Have you ever watched a film or documentary or listened to a podcast where the host's questions didn't quite hit the mark?
Getting under the hood of another human is not always easy. So a lot of our creators have questions about how they level up their interviewing skills.
Good interviews don't just happen. They require curiosity, preparation, and the ability to really listen to what the people are saying.
So lean in and listen closely as we put our own skills to the test to learn what it takes to be a truly great interviewer. Hello and welcome to First Frame, where creators come for answers, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. And on this season of the podcast, we're diving into practical and ethical challenges facing Canadian content creators in 2026.
With insights from emerging creators, seasoned pros, and industry insiders, it's our goal to give you clear and actionable advice you can use right now.
Canadian creators need a podcast to call home. This is it.
Whether you're hosting a podcast, filming YouTube videos, or gathering footage for a documentary, interviewing people well is a skill.
And it's one that a lot of creators think they're good at, or they just don't think about at all until they actually have to do it.
So how do you get better? Which tactics can you use to form a real connection with your guests? And how much prep do you need to do ahead of time?
To help us answer those questions, it's my pleasure to introduce our guest for today's episode, award-winning news anchor, podcaster, and TV host, Tamara Taggart. Tamara, welcome to First Frame.
Hi, so good to see you both.
It's so great to see you. Thanks for being here. Before we get into the interviewing do's and don'ts, maybe you could share a little bit about yourself and your career so our audience can get to know you a little bit better.
Sure. Yeah. So it was such a weird question, right? Because you have to like think about, who am I? I spent about almost 30 years in radio and television locally in Vancouver. I started in radio and just found my way into television and spent about 22 years working at CTV. And I did a lot of jobs there. And then spent the last 7 years as a news anchor of the 6 o'clock news. And I did the weather for the Winter Olympics. I co-hosted with Regis Philbin on Regis and Kelly. You forget all the things you actually do sometimes because, you know, a long career is, I don't know. Plus, I have menopause now, so I don't remember half the things I did. After I left, I have 3 kids. So after leaving TV, you know, I've spent the last 8 years at home. I host a podcast called TELUS Talks with Tamara Taggart. I do a lot of advocacy. I'm a volunteer president of Down Syndrome BC, a group that I started with some other mums. And I help advocate for people who need it. And I try to help them navigate some complicated systems when it comes to their kids or the court system. That's in a nutshell.
And I'll say, I think we feel like we know you already because you were in our house every single night at 6 o'clock. So
I do so get true. That a lot. I do, you know, like lots of people will come up to me on the, I always get, do I know you? Did we work together at, or did we go to school together? And I know it's so weird to say, oh, I used to be on TV. You know what I mean? But once I say, oh, I used to, and they're like, oh my gosh, of course, right? It's so funny.
You definitely can tell that you feel comfortable in front of the camera. And in regards to like people recognizing you, just a couple of weeks ago, someone came up to me and was like, hey, don't you have that podcast? It's the first time it's ever happened. And I was like, this is weird, but very cool. Yeah. So again, thanks for joining us and thanks for that information about your background. Now let's talk a little bit about the art of interviewing then and how to get better at it, which is something I think I can still definitely learn from. So I'm excited about this. But can you start maybe by telling how you define what a great interview actually looks like?
For me, it's all about curiosity, right? It's about curiosity and listening. So there's all different kinds of interviews. If you're working in a news station, your interviews are pretty, you know, they have to be very concise because you only have about a minute or a minute 30 to tell an entire story. So you have to really know what answers you're looking for and ask the questions that are really targeted for that. If you're doing a long form interview, that's a totally different ballgame because you have the, you know, the luxury of time. And so for me, it's all about curiosity, listening, and an unspoken kind of charisma, if that makes sense, when engaging with another person, because you want it to be interesting for the person that's watching or listening or reading.
Now, you said curiosity. Obviously, this is an essential quality in a good interviewer. So what does being curious mean to you?
Curiosity leads to learning, which leads to knowledge, which leads to a better conversation. Mm-hmm. And really, an interview is a conversation, different types of conversations. Some can be quite tense, depending on, you know, the information you're looking for. Some can be quite fun. So curiosity to me is just always wanting to know more about a subject or a person or a story that's happening in the news. Like I'll watch a story and I'll be like, oh, well, that's interesting. And then I'll look more into it. So I'm just somebody who's always reading or, you know, watching things or talking to people. And really, I think that's all it's about, is just talking, asking questions and wanting to learn more.
So it sounds like you've talked about like preparing and knowledge and understanding like who you're going to be going and speaking with. So can you tell us about a time where good preparation really helped make a difference in an interview for you?
Oh boy.
I'm sure you have a few stories.
I know. It's so hard, right? I've talked to so many people over the years, and sometimes you don't need to do any preparation. The ability to interview somebody and be curious in the moment is a skill, and you can only get better at that if you just keep doing it. For example, this is like low level curiosity. Okay. I can't help it. I go to the supermarket and I'll end up talking to like six people while I'm getting groceries. And my husband will be like, who was that? And I'm like, I have no idea. And he's like, how do you have, you were talking to them like they were your best friend. And I'm like, I know. I was just like, we were talking about this and it led to this and it led to that. That's just who I am. And I think that a good interviewer has this ability to be curious and listen to everybody, not just for their one, you know, task of interviewing this one person. But preparation is an interesting, you can be as prepared as you want, but if you go into the interview and somebody throws you a monkey wrench into your questions, mm-hmm. you have to be able to recover. And I think you can only do that when your ability to think on your feet is finely tuned, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed some interesting people that I thought I was prepared for. I interviewed Donald Trump in Vancouver. How do you prepare for that? So, I mean, you can go in prepared, but actually you have no idea what's going to happen.
Right. Now, preparing yourself, I think, is one thing. Preparing your guests is another. And I know this topic comes up a lot with our sort of new and emerging creators. And it is that question of, do you give them the questions in advance or do you not give them the questions in advance? So what is your philosophy on this?
Never, ever. I come from news. You would never do that. It's unethical. You would never give anybody the question. Would I go to a politician and give them the questions I'm going to ask them about the story we want to get? I want to know about a conflict of interest. Am I going to give them the questions ahead of time? Never. Ever, 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 ever. Not even in a casual interview. I would never give anybody the questions. You run the risk of that interview sounding rehearsed, mm-hmm. sounding practiced. And maybe it's because I worked in live TV for 22 years. There is no preparation. I mean, you can prepare all you want, but live TV is live TV. Right. And I love it because you get one shot. And so it's the same with an interview. You want to get those real, authentic reactions to your questions. And then that's going to maybe take you somewhere else. That's going to get you the answer that you want.
I feel like you're giving me heart palpitations as you're talking about live, because I like record it and you can fix it later in case I mess up.
You would love it live. I'm telling you, it is like the biggest adrenaline rush. It is, you have one chance. It makes you feel alive in such a good way. And I love it because it's real and authentic.
How does your approach change, though, depending on the format? Like if you're doing news versus live versus a podcast?
I think for me and my interviewing style, it's probably all the same. I remember interviewing Christy Clark when she was premier. Mm-hmm. And it was, I can't remember what the interview was for, but she came in to the newsroom for the interview. It was all like, you know, hi and smiles and all that sort of stuff. And then we sat down and the interview started. And then I asked a question that she, like, typically with politicians, they kind of snake their way around the question and don't really answer it.
They're good at that.
Yes. And there's nothing more frustrating, right? There's nothing more frustrating to watch. And there's nothing more frustrating to try to get the answer. And I was like a dog with a bone. Like, I just kept asking the question and asking the question, asking the question, to the point where you're wearing an earpiece, an IFB it's called. And the producer said to me, okay, Tamara, you got to move on, in my ear, right? And I was like, I didn't want to move on. I was so mad about it. But I moved on and, you know, blah, blah, blah. After the interview, the premier said to me, oh my gosh, you were so sweet and friendly when we first started. I thought this was going to be an easy interview. And so I think that that's my, it's not my strategy. It's just who I am. I don't change. I am the same person, but I know how to ask a softball question. I know how to ask a hard question. And I know how to make my way into that hard question.
Do you find that filming a podcast is easier than doing something like being on the news, where you maybe have 60 minutes to really deep dive versus a minute and a half to ask the question and try and get everything you want out of it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's different, but it's the same. Meaning, an hour can be a long time. Like, a long time. And so an hour, you can have an hour of an amazing interview, or you can have an hour that is a slog to listen to. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't sound like fun, does it? That sounds like a lot of hard work. To have an hour interview where you are hammering somebody with questions, it doesn't really happen, right? So it's more of a conversation, whereas a news story is more of a hard-hitting, I need an answer. It needs to be concise. My job is to give you both sides of the story, and you decide at home what you think is right.
Yes, exactly. You've given us plenty to chew on already, Tamara, but let's take a quick break for a little bit of fun. It is time to play 1 Minute Mentor.
Here's the deal. We want you to tell us about an interview you did where you really looked up or admired that person. And go.
One that comes to mind is I met a woman when I was emceeing a breast cancer run. And I did a quick interview with her right there on the spot, just like, you know, why are you here? Why are you running? And there was a connection. I reached out to her, or she reached out to me after, and I ended up doing a news story on her. She had been diagnosed with breast cancer, very aggressive. Her friends had rallied around her. She went through all kinds of surgeries. And I did a couple of stories on her, and we remained friends, and we're still in touch to this day. And that was probably 15 years ago. I do tend to do stories on people and become friends with them. It's happened a lot. And so it's hard for me to just pick one, because, you know, her name is Karen, but I have dozens of Karens in my life that I've interviewed or done stories on in the past. And we've just had a connection.
It just goes to show how amazing you are at creating a relationship and a connection while you're interviewing, obviously.
That's nice of you to say.
Now let's talk about best practices during the interview itself, after all the prep work is done. There's lots of ways an interview can come off the rails. So what's your number one pet peeve?
When I can tell that the interviewer is not listening, it's my number one pet peeve. It's very obvious when the interviewer is not listening and they're just reading questions.
Yeah, probably feels inauthentic.
Well, because you're listening at home, right? So if you're listening at home and you're thinking, oh, they just said this, like, what does that mean? But the interviewer just moves on to their next question on their cue card, then the person at home, who's your audience? You want them to keep listening. Now they're just ticked off because it feels like there's a missed opportunity to learn something else or to hear the answer to that. Or what did you mean by that? So yeah, it's it becomes obvious, and there's just no longevity as an interviewer when you're not listening.
When a guest does say something unexpected or really interesting, how do you follow up on that instead of what your original plan was?
So I think that it's a great idea to have questions when you go into an interview. I think it's a bad idea if you think you have to ask all those questions. So your questions on your card, my blank card, I always have these cards hanging around my desk because that's where I write all my stuff is on, like I have lots. And I, you know, if I go in and I have my little card here and I'm asking you a question and just reading the questions, it's not good. So you should know your first couple of questions and use them as your insurance. So I ask you the first question, you answer it, and you don't really give me anything. So I, you know, I ask my next question, and I don't need to look at my questions because I know my questions because I've done my homework and I know where I want the interview to go. But I also know that you could answer something that takes us in a completely different direction, and I'm totally cool with that. So what I would do is if I ask you, you know, to tell me about your animals at home, and I know you have a dog, but your answer is, I had a dog, I'm making this up now, and he just passed away. Well, that does not go with my questions at all. Now you right. totally turn things for me. What if I said, oh, okay, well then how about, let's talk about what is happening with your, you know, your work right now or whatever. Everybody at home would be like, well, what about the poor dog? Like, what about, you know what I mean? So that's your opportunity to say, I'm so sorry to hear that. I understand, you know, you had this dog for quite a while because you rescued him, did you? And then, yes, then it goes into that. And then you can segue out. Like you, it's a matter of being able to the person you're talking to is leading the conversation-ish. Mm-hmm. Really, you are. It's your job to get where you need to go. But sometimes the turns in the road will, you know, you just go off track a bit, but you can bring it back. But you're never going to bring it back by staring at your questions.
Right. It's almost that be prepared to be unprepared.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Love
yes.
that, Jen.
And yeah. maybe there's, you know, you might have a whole plan for an interview going, this is the way it's going to go. But that unexpected piece could be the gem that you didn't know you needed.
100%. Some of the best interviews in the world are because you get an answer that you weren't expecting, or yeah. you've made somebody feel so uncomfortable, so comfortable that they tell you something they weren't planning on telling. Those are the gems. Absolutely.
Now, before you actually start recording, how do you set expectations for your guests in terms of what you're looking to get out of the interview?
Okay, so you're not going to like my answer. Now, I don't do anything. I do nothing. So if I'm starting a podcast, right, I come up on the screen, there's my guest. Yesterday, I interviewed a doctor in the UK. He's just written a book on why we drink. That's the name of the book, Why We Drink. I read the book. I'm one of those people. I read the book. I look at the website. I do all the things. I had my questions, but I didn't ever really refer to those questions with him. But when we started up, he was flustered because he was late and he was apologizing and apologizing. And I was like, oh my gosh, don't worry about it. I just start talking to him like we're friends. So that he can sort of like ease down now. He's just come in from work. It's evening in the UK. And then before we know it, we're having a nice conversation and then we're ready to record. And I always just say, my setup is for my podcast. My setup is, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about your book. I'm not going to ask you anything you don't know the answer to because you're the expert. I'm not. And I hope it's a really good conversation.
So when you're having the conversations, though, I'm sure you've run into this. When you get a guest that will just continue talking and you can't seem to get a word in edgewise to you know, ask that next question or make sure that you're potentially getting what you want out of the interview. So how do you deal with that? What are your tips that you would have for something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, right? It's like, uh-oh, this person's talking. And sometimes people just talk and talk and talk because it's their own nerves, right?
And passionate about it too, right? They get super passionate.
Exactly. It's an interesting question because I think that question asks you as the interviewer to use your intuition. Where can I slide in here? And I tend to use my facial expressions a little bit. Just looking at them. But sometimes I'll say, oh, that's interesting, as they're talking, right? And then it almost makes them go, oh, shoot, right, I forgot I was talking to somebody here. There's somebody else here. If you're able to find that breath that they're taking and just get that first word in, it usually works. But I know exactly what you mean. It's, again, I think with the experience of doing interviews, you learn where that sweet spot is, where you can interject without sounding rude, without ruining their flow, right?
It's exactly.
Just having that intuition, because you don't want to ruin the flow.
No, and you want to get their story out. That's why you've brought them there to talk to them, mm-hmm. right? So it's like so important that you mm-hmm. want to make sure that they're getting what they want out as well when they're sharing. So yeah, it can be challenging mm-hmm. and it's delicate too,
right?
A real
challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's finding that balance between this is your time to share versus I don't want to be rude, but we got to carry on kind of thing.
Exactly. I mean, that is a really good point too. And also, I always look at it like, who's listening? Like, what is interesting for the person that's listening? Because really, at the end of the day, that is the most important thing. You're doing mm-hmm. a podcast for the listener. You're doing a news story for the viewer, not for me, not for, you know, the person you're interviewing. You're doing it for the person you want to have consume it. Mm-hmm. They don't want to listen to somebody ramble on and on and on and on. I don't know how some people listen to these podcasts that are like 3 or 4 hours. I don't know who has the time to do that. I don't. I like a nice, you know, I like a nice, concise interview.
That brings me, it makes me think of something when you were talking about that is like, how do you keep your unconscious biases out of potentially interviews? Like, how do you, like, do you have any tips for people that are doing that? Because, right, you may not necessarily align with the person you're interviewing.
I mean, everybody has a bias.
Yeah.
Everybody does. But when you are working in a newsroom, the bias cannot show up in your work. That's mm-hmm. not your job. Now, a podcast is different because, you know, maybe that's your whole shtick is that you are biased. Or maybe your whole thing is you do have opinions. Mm-hmm. And you bring on controversial people. I mean, I don't run into that problem at all because I go at the angle of curiosity, mm-hmm. right? Because your job as an interviewer is to get the information out. And so you're going in with curiosity. You may disagree with everything the person's saying, but you can still skew your questions with curiosity to get the answers that you're hoping to provide to your audience.
I think that's going to be really helpful for our creators, for sure, to understand. It's not about judgment. It's about curiosity.
And I think curiosity is such a wonderful thing to have, right? It in everything, in every aspect of life, to be curious about other people.
Exactly. We're almost out of time for today. What would you tell an emerging creator who asks you, how do I become a great interviewer?
Well, I'm going to go back to curiosity. I'm going to go back to be curious about everything and everyone. It's a wonderful way to live your life, whether you're an interviewer or not, is to be curious. Yeah. You want to fine-tune your listening skills. We always want to hear the sound of our own voice, but sometimes when we listen, we hear things that maybe other people don't, and it leads us to a really wonderful interview. But those are my two big ones, is listening, curiosity, and preparation goes hand in hand with that. You have to be prepared until you get to a point where you're seasoned enough that you know you can go into an interview and not maybe be as prepared as you were when you were first interviewing people. I'm not the same interviewer I was 30 years ago. I'm a completely different interviewer, right? And that just comes with time and experience.
I have one final question for you that I've been thinking of as you're talking about being prepared as well. Is there such thing as being too prepared? Because I will say, we have had creators that, you know, they were so stressed about being on camera. Mm. They've recorded themselves 15, 20 times, or they keep putting things off because it's, I'm not quite ready, not quite ready, I'm not quite ready. So
yeah, of course you can be too prepared. Of course you can overdo it. And then you run the risk of not feeling authentic, of not feeling real, of not being yourself. None of us are ourselves if we're over-prepared for anything in life. Being over-prepared is almost just as bad as being under-prepared. They're two, obviously, on opposite ends of the spectrum, but they would create the same type of interview, which would be not so fun to listen to. Right. So it's finding that magic spot in the middle where you feel confident and you know you're prepared. And also, I kind of get through life by always saying to myself, well, what's the worst thing that could happen, right? And we've all had bad interviews and we've all had moments of panic where we're like, uh-oh, I don't know what I'm going to ask next. This is really going bad. You know, like you're thinking to yourself and you're like, this is bad, this is bad. But you get through it and you learn. And we all have bad interviews and it's not the end of the world if we do.
You've definitely given our listeners a lot of great advice today. But before we say goodbye, I would love to know if there's any resources that you could recommend for our listeners and our StoryHive alum and program participants that they could look at about interviewing. And then also, where can we keep up with you?
The first thing I recommend is reading the work of other interviewers. Anderson Cooper's book is amazing about his frontline reporting. Like all of these great interviewers have written books and I've read them all. Maybe you get something from it, maybe you don't, but it helps you understand the work of others and how they do it because it is a real art. And then I'm on social media. You just have to search Tamara Taggart. It's my name on all my social medias and on my podcast, TELUS Talks with Tamara Taggart. We publish a new episode every Tuesday. And that's about it. That's where I am.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. And thank you for being open, sharing your expertise and your experience with all of us here today on First Frame.
Thank you both very much. It was a great interview.
That means a lot coming from you.
Yay! Yeah.
Well, Jen, I found that conversation extremely valuable. I already feel more confident in my interviewing skills already. I don't know about you, but what stood out for me, I think, most in this conversation today was think about curiosity, like lean into that curiosity when you're going to be going and doing an interview and just, you know, have it as if it's a natural conversation. Like don't feel like it has to be very, very structured. Make sure that you know what your end goal is, but at the same time, just feel comfortable, be yourself, be authentic. What about you?
For me, I think we actually didn't talk about it a lot, but it's one piece that she mentioned that I think is super important, and that is become a good listener. If you're too married to the questions, you might miss out on something. Your guest might feel like you're not truly listening or care about what they're saying. So learn to become a good listener because in that you might find some gems. That's it for this episode of First Frame, brought to you by TELUS StoryHive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single thing. And if you'd like to learn more about TELUS StoryHive and how we can help you along your content creation journey, check out storyhive.com.
Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. That's a wrap.